Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here on the Eagle 104.3 FM with my Faith and Freedom Show. I'm going to tell you a story about my son because I think it's important. This is a Faith and Freedom Show, so every now and then I tell you a crazy faith story. So it's, hey, be a skeptic. Check it out. See what's going on here. I think it's actually, it's least entertaining, and I think it's actually going to be valuable. My son, one day, I got to tell you a faith story. This was kind of important. One day I was at Fort Monroe, and I guess he was 2.5. I don't know how old he was. I forget now. But my son was hanging upside down from what we used to call the jungle gym. I don't know why we called it that, but that's what we called it. It was kind of a round thing with bars, and he was hanging upside down from his knees. And I was all panicky, and I'm just like starting to hyperventilate, and I'm going into a panic attack because if he slips off those bars, he could break his neck and die. You know, I knew that. It'd be like 3 feet, but he could still kill himself, and I was panicking. And then I realized, wait a minute, this kid is a kid. I mean, I spent a lot of hours upside down hanging from things just like he was doing. I thought, you know, I didn't die. But I thought, man, I really need to get a grip. Well, let me tell you what happens the next day. The next day, I walk out in my backyard, and I'm looking for my son. I got to call him in to eat or something like that. I'm calling him, and I'm saying, Jesse, where are you? And then I'm looking around. He says, I'm up here, Dad. And I look, and here's this little guy who's barely old enough to have a conversation. Up in a tree, standing way up high as he could in a willow tree. Looking out over the rest of the world, we had a privacy fence, so he had gone way up the tree and was actually standing on the tree, standing on a branch, holding one hand, his right hand just leaning on what was left of a slight sprig of the tip of the tree that's kind of coming up and bowing over, and he was looking out into the rest of the world, loving his adventure. And what was amazing is he was so high up that, you know, if he tumbles down, he could certainly die, but I had this perfect peace. And I thought, what is going on here? Here's this kid in this massively dangerous situation that could just have catastrophe happen in any split second. And I can't save him. If he falls from there, it's nothing I can do. And I just had this perfect peace. And that was kind of strange. And it was so strange that I actually took note of it. And then I realized, wait a minute, you are a parent. You have a responsibility. It's time to, you know, stop worrying about the peace. That's really amazing. And then just go over to the tree and try to see if you can coax your son into actually holding on to the tree and working his way back down again. So I got under the tree and I realized he could fall on the other side of the tree and I'd never be able to stop him. But I called him and I said, Jesse, I need you to hold the tree. I need you to reach with both hands and hold the tree. What, you see where your hand is there on the right? I want you to take both hands and grab the tree. Well, guess what? Jesse wouldn't do it. And Jesse was one of these guys. He's really smart. But at this age, we would be out in front of our house and he would start to run into the street. I'd say, stop. And he would completely ignore me. And you'd have to run. You'd actually have to make sure you position yourself between him and the street at all times because he would not listen to your instruction. So if a ball goes out to the street, he's like, but Dad, you don't understand. In his mind, he's thinking, I have to save the ball. And he's not thinking that it will kill him. And when Dad says, stop, Jesse had a better plan. He had another idea and he realized I didn't know what it was. So he would ignore me. And this was going on. I was really starting to worry about it. Now here he is up in a tree and I'm saying, Jesse, grab that tree. Don't let it go. You know, Just hold on tight, and now I want you to sit down. Well, guess what? He wouldn't hold the tree. He wouldn't sit down. So I now it's like, no, Jesse, really, I need you to hold the tree and sit down. Now I'm having to get like do the authoritative voice. Jesse, this is your father speaking. I'm telling you, sit down. So I'm really getting on his case. And now I'm trying to realize I got to do something. I mean, the guy's like, you know, from my head, he's at least 12 feet away. So I'm trying to figure out, well, how am I going to get this guy? So he wouldn't listen to me. So I said, Jesse, if you will not sit down and crawl down the tree like it's a ladder, then I'm going to, I told him, if you will not sit down, you're going to be in trouble. I don't know what else to do. I'm trying to coax him and all this. He's still defying me. He's just got better plans. So I said, and then he's getting all, now he's starting to shake because he realized, uh-oh, he's in trouble. He's going to get in trouble. But he still won't do it. He's still fighting inside. He will not listen to Dad. So finally I said, Jesse, okay, now you've defied me so much, you're in trouble already. When I get you down, buddy, you're in trouble. This is just crazy. But if you don't want to get in double trouble, now I don't know what double trouble is, but it had to be worse than trouble. So I said, if you don't want double trouble, you had better get down, buddy. And so now he's shaking and now he's going to come down. But the way he starts to come down, he starts walking down the branches of this willow tree as if it was a circular staircase. He's not going to climb like a ladder. He's going to walk down the tree. And I'm like, no, don't, you know, walk like a ladder. And then he's shaking, you know, and he starts to walk down the tree. He might have walked up the tree. I have no idea how he got up there. And as soon as he takes his first step, he flips out, his feet go out from under him, and he falls down the tree. And this is a willow tree, and they have a whole lot of little, I call them sprigs. They're very small branches that come out off the trunk. And he's coming down like he's at a Plinko game. He's like a little ball or disc in a Plinko game. And he's going boom, 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 all the way down this tree. He's got a little tank top on. He's getting beat up on the way down and cut up. And on the way down, he actually was able, because the branches were kind of slowing him down on the way down as he's getting beat up, and he actually caught himself upside down. It was like he was, if you could imagine, holding one out arm out sideways, one at about a 45 degree angle above your head, and then picture yourself upside down. He was actually holding himself in midair just for a split second. He stopped just above my hands when he was falling. Fortunately, he was falling in my direction. And then his hands gave way, he fell in my arms, he was all beat up, he was all bruised, he was bleeding in areas, and he was crying, and it was one of those kind of crying things where you're in so much pain, it really hurts to cry. And he was sitting there in my arms, and now Mom knows that something's going on. She heard some commotion, she's running out the door, and she's going to come over here. And I had a certain amount of time that I had to talk to my son. And he's like 2.5. I mean, he's old enough where we can do a little dialogue. And he was a little ahead of his time on having conversations. But he was able to understand me. And while he's crying, I said, Jesse, this is why it says in the Bible, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. And then I said with emphasis, so that it will be well with you and you will live long on the earth. And you know what? He stopped whimpering. His crying just came down to almost a little sigh. And since that day, little Jesse changed his ways. He realized that, oh my goodness, my dad has some plans for me that are better than mine. Almighty God has the same plans. And you know what? They will conserve us. So we'll talk a little more conservation when we get back.
Are you looking for a good way to help others who are helping others? Let us advertise your favorite ministry organization. And your advertising gift will support our Faith and Freedom broadcast airtime costs at the same time. Come join us in our Give Unto Others advertising campaign. Contact us by phone at 757-850-1245 or by email at faithfrontier@verizon.net.
All right, we're back with some conservative view, and I got to make sure I don't kill too much time here. I actually want to be able to explain some conservative ideas. Yes, as I was saying, conservatives have been talking, specifically Lori Ingraham, about how some conservative Republicans ought not to vote for McCain to show the Republican Party that it should not abandon them. And their comments came back, I think I was listening to, yes, I did, I'll apologize, but it was to Tony McCreaney on another station. And he was saying, hey, listen, you know, the people voted for him. It wasn't necessarily Republican politicians, party politics that put him in the lead. It was voters. And it may be that there were more voters voting for the Huckabee type idea. Maybe there were more voters voting for Huckabee and Romney and Paul than there were total going for McCain. But it was really voters. One thing I will tell you, though, I've met people that will vote for who they think will win. Even they won't even vote for who they'd want to win. Some people are so fearful of losing or whatever it is. They've got to have this certain kind of gratification. They will vote who they think will win. And I've had people say, oh, I wanted so-and-so to win something, you know, and they voted for somebody. And I think it was because they thought they were going to win. And then they're all disappointed. And I'm thinking, well, vote your conscience, baby. Vote your conscience. Voter turnout. I was looking through the information on the Virginia Electoral, I'm trying to think of the name of the website, but you can look up Virginia Elections, Virginia Election Board website, and find out how many people voted where. And there was about 20,000 people, or I'm sorry, I'll take it back. In the Virginia Democratic primary, there was about 20% of the Virginia registered voters voted in the Democratic primary. About 10% of voters voted in the Republican primary. Now, we don't know how many of that 20% Virginia voters that voted in the Democratic Party were actually Republicans trying to vote a cancellation vote. Well, which Democrat would I rather have out of the two? Well, let me register in that party and vote. And it might have gone the other way. There may have been, I think the Democratic race was tight enough. I don't think that people in the Democratic Party would have switched sides, per se, just to cast a vote. But they might have. There may have been people that say, well, you know, McCain is more, some Democrats might have thought, well, let me go vote for McCain because, you know, I don't want a Huckabee or whoever, or a Paul or whoever. It may be that that's what happened. But there is a little bit of apathy out there with regard to voting. It's turning around. I think back, I was looking at the statistics, and the 2000 election was one of the bottom, the least participated in elections, percentage-wise, for a whole long time. I mean, as far as back as I could see in history. So what we're seeing is a lot of apathy. You're seeing a lot of excitement in those who are on the what we would term a liberal side of the house, and you're seeing apathy on those who might be on the conservative side of the house. And the reason why, it just seems to me that the ones on the liberal side of the house are very much influenced by their feelings, and they're pretty excited. They're, you know, if they're influenced by your feelings, and you're pretty, you can get pretty excited, and you can do a lot of things because you're excited. And it just seems that there's some people on the other side that may not be using so much emotion, a little bit more. It's a different half of their brain that may be more active in that half of the populace, but they're apathetic. And as I was looking through the problems of the day, our problems of the day aren't solved by politicians. Our problems of the day should be solved by us. One of the things, as I said, we used to do computer training in the community. Well, it's because there was a problem. There were people being kicked out of their jobs. They were 45 years old. They had kids to feed, but they had no computer skills. And there were people coming out of high school who were 18 years old who had computer training paid for by the government and were able to take minimum wage because they didn't have a family to feed. So those people who had families to feed, who had to pay for childcare, had to pay the rent for those teenagers that just got out of high school, those people were being displaced out of their job because the company would rather hire a teenager who doesn't have to be retrained. And I saw that over and over and over again. And there was a problem. There's a physical need. And so what I had a vision to do, it wasn't just me. I was inspired by the Lord, I believe, absolutely, to go do it. And then people actually provided funding to feed me while I did it. In other words, we, I say the church, saw a need and we met the need. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's where problems are going to be solved. And you know what? That's a conservative view. I fear that conservatives aren't being inspired to that end, aren't being taught the duty they have toward their neighbor, and they aren't being taught what the boundaries of government ought to be.
Nonetheless, we've got to press on, and that's why we've got this Faith and Freedom show here on the Eagle 104.3 FM. So, hey, you're trying to do your part. You're at least getting your brains plugged in, and we're thrilled for it. So we're going to be back again, and we're going to make sure we do our homework to make sure that we're giving you substance and not just merely empty rhetoric, but it's idealistic rhetoric to the ideal that will support your and my freedom.